What an interesting response. In our first reading, we see the early church, Paul and Barnabas, out in Acts. We see this encounter that they have in the town where they reached Antioch and Pisidia. What happens when they preach the gospel? They preach the good news that Jesus Christ is alive, he is risen, he has conquered sin and death, and offers us a share of his eternal life if we accept it. But yet the reaction is quite interesting, like, yeah, I want that, let me get that. But that's not always how people react when the gospel is preached, is it? Jesus is divisive. Jesus even mentions that in the gospel, that God comes to bring peace and division. And here Paul and Barnabas are preaching the risen Christ. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it is necessary the word of God be spoken to you first. But since you reject and condemn yourselves as unworthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. They preach the Gentiles who receive it, accept it. They came to believe in the word of the Lord, continued to spread through the whole region. Some people didn't like this. It raised up a persecution, reacted with violence, hatred. So Paul and Barnabas shook the dust from their feet and went to the next town, as Jesus instructed them. They were filled with joy of the Holy Spirit. What? That's your reaction? To be persecuted, violently objected to? It's because of the deeper peace that the risen Christ can give us. Cannot be shaken by anything. Not the threat of death, persecution, or death itself. In fact, the apostles all died for their faith. All were martyred for the faith. And most Christians, early centuries, knew if they proclaimed the Lord Jesus, that was a very real possibility. Very real possibility. The disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. This indwelling and joy comes when we encounter the risen Christ, who still lives to this day, founded the church, which is guided by the Holy Spirit, whom we encounter in prayer, in the sacraments, in Scripture. This is how Jesus gives us the opportunity to continue to encounter him, to grow in faith and love, to root out sin in our lives and selfishness and pride. Jesus even tells us, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. The disciples were filled with joy of the Holy Spirit. In one sense, we could say, they knew they were on the right path. Hey, remember that time the master was preaching these things and they were the truth and they killed him for it? He was persecuted? It's not a surprise that's happening to us. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, tells us in the gospel today, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. They actively follow me in what they say and what they do. I often hear from people all the time, Father, I want to do God's will. What's God's will? How do I know? Listen to God's voice. Okay, that's a follow-up question. How do I hear God's voice? Great question. We all hopefully desire to hear the voice of God, but like, we all don't experience the burning bush, right? God actually doesn't speak audibly to us most of the time. God speaks in silence. So here's multiple ways that we can hear God's voice, which is vital in the spiritual life. The shepherd guides the sheep. So the voice of God is going to tell us how to get to heaven. Number one, we hear God's voice in sacred scripture. God's revelation to us, the word of God. Reading and meditating on the Bible helps us to understand God's will, what he desires, who he is, and to hear his voice. The Bible is written for us today, too. It applies to every single one of us. Just as It applied when it was first written to the first apostles and disciples. It's a living text that inspires those who read it with faith and openness. Secondly, we hear the voice of God in the teaching of the church. Many questions about life, morality, the purpose of life are answered beautifully in the teachings of the church in the 2,000-year history based on God's revelation, the word and tradition passed on to us. Start with the catechism. Literally, John Paul II gave us the catechism in 93 and said, here you go. This is our text. Know it. Encounter it. Use it. God will often also work through other people to communicate to us so we can hear his voice. This is clearly seen throughout the scriptures, throughout salvation history. So how often is it that a prophet or an apostle is tasked with being the messenger of God, bringing the message? Not always accepted. Openly, it doesn't matter, it's God's message. Look at Paul and Barnabas today in the first reading. We can hear God's voice through others, possibly in your spouse, through the heart of your spouse. What your spouse desires for you, deep down, can be an expression of God's love and will for you. Hopefully cooperating with the grace of the sacrament of matrimony helps facilitate that. Godly counsel, a wise direction in the church. We have a history of seeking advice from wise and spiritually mature persons who can help discern the voice of God, often referred to as spiritual directors. The church has a long history of seeking counsel from others. Maybe in our fellowship, God works through others. Right? Engaging in community and fellowship with others, other believers can provide insights, conversations, confirmations with God through those shared experiences. Jesus did, right? Pray and eat. It's a great formula. Talk. Maybe it's a Bible study. Whatever. Catholic families get together. We need this support. We need community centered and founded on Jesus Christ. How else do we hear the voice of God? Of course, personal prayer. Of course, personal prayer. Regular, heartfelt prayer is a primary way to communicate with God. Listen for his guidance. Don't just do all the talking either. Just sit there in his presence. That's why the church has a 2,000-year history of Eucharistic adoration. Jesus Christ, who is the center of our faith, the Second Vatican Council taught us the Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith. The heart of Christ in adoration sits there, waiting for us to come to him, to listen to him, to give him the message that he wants to give us. Also, in life circumstances, we can hear the voice of God. When we pay attention to what's going on in our lives, discerning, reflecting, where is God's hand in all of this? That can provide clarity and direction for us. Often we get nudges from the Holy Spirit too. Ooh, I should help that person out. Shouldn't do that. Don't go down that road. Where's that voice coming from? Our conscience? Voice of the Lord. The Holy Spirit gives us nudges. Hey, go receive the Lord's mercy. Go to confession. You will bask in his love and mercy and forgiveness afterwards. My friends, to be a part of the flock of Jesus Christ, to claim to be a follower of him, a disciple, a witness, we must intentionally and regularly listen for his voice. So if we don't, that means we're not open, and we're probably filling it with all this other noise, and we're closed off to it. The call of the Good Shepherd can be heard if we make it a habitual practice. If we respond to his call to listen. Interesting note, did you know that the Hebrews didn't actually have a word for obey? In other words, you won't find obey or obedience in the Hebrew language. For the Hebrews, instead of the word to obey, they used the word to hear or to heed. Think of the famous Old Testament passage that commands Israel to obey God. The center of their prayer life every day. Hear, hear, O Israel. The Lord is our God, is the Lord. The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. They're to hear God and heed his voice. This is obedience. More than just a lawgiver or judge, God is a loving heavenly Father. He is the God that Jesus revealed to us. The God of the Bible is not asking for us to merely obey written laws in some legalistic way. No, he wants hearing hearts. And a hearing heart is a heart that is intent on doing whatever it is that God asks of them. Because it's linked to the heart, it's linked to love, my friends. And unfortunately, some Christians have a different reason behind their actions than love. Some act out of a fear of God when their mind is a severe judge. Some act out of, just like this is what we do, or some type of mechanical obedience to the perceived laws of God. Or some do it for pride. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. My friends, we're called to heed God's voice in an act of love. So if nothing else, when we sit down in prayer, or any of these different ways we sit down and encounter the Lord in Scripture, it's an act of love. We spend time with whom or what we love the most. How much time do we spend with the Lord Jesus? Maybe another way to think about it. Are you filled with joy in the Holy Spirit? Would someone else say that? For not, which, if we're all honest, we can be more joyful, more spirit-filled. The first place to start listening to his voice. Prayer, the sacraments, encounter him. Even if it requires conversion, even if then we are changed and we proclaim the Lord and actively bring others to the church who are persecuted for it, so what? So what? We can't avoid suffering. It's a part of life in this fallen world. But we can use it in the way that Christ did, participate in redemptive suffering, offer it for others. A lot of times it's for ourselves to be purified and cleansed. Not fun, it's not easy, but it's so good for us. And it leads to life. Life in the Spirit on this earth, and eternal life in the next. So we pray in this time of renewal for the Church Universal, obviously for the Pope, but also for every one of us. How are we helping build up the kingdom of God? May we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. May he fill us with his joy and his Holy Spirit.